City. It's your man, Big Pat, the voice of your Charlotte Hornets, and you're listening to the All Hornets Podcast Network, presented by Sports Illustrated.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Hello and welcome to the Hornets and Heartbreak podcast. My name is Mark Bernanke and I'm here with my co-host, Tim Rogers. What's up, Tim?
What is Liquor Mark?
I'm doing pretty well, man. The Hornets are on a 2-game win streak. Only the second one we've had this entire season. Since acquiring 5 new players since the trade deadline, the Hornets have been on fire. You know, we beat the Grizzlies in the first game after the trade deadline. And it was kind of like, all right, this was fun. But like, yeah, you know, you kind of expect it. Like a little bit of buzz around the team, good vibes, new players. Everybody wants to prove that they're, you know, worth being on an NBA team. You kind of expected a win against the Grizzlies a little bit. But last night against the Pacers, Tim, I don't think many people saw that coming. The Pacers are a very, very good team. Tyrese Haliburton is an all-star starter. And we beat him, led by Grant Williams and Seth Curry, Tim.
Yeah, we were led by these Charlotte natives. What were we, 9.5-point underdogs? Which I don't keep up with regular season lines that much. I just work with gamblers, I promise. Yeah, man, that was great. And, you know, I've been a big Haliburton supporter, but didn't look like an all-star last night, Jim.
No, he definitely did not. Yeah, we kind of shut him down a little bit. We had him making some questionable plays. He looked like he lost his confidence a little bit. And Tim, I mean, the text back and forth between us last night, I don't want to release those to anybody. It was embarrassing. I sent like a crying emoji at some point, just like how happy I was with the Hornets actually having a watchable product. You were like, just think about how bad the first 50 games of the season were. Like now that we actually have players who can shoot and pass, the team is so much more fun to watch. And we're not saying this team is like, you know, better than average or anything crazy like that. But we're just saying it's a lot more fun and it's nice to win a couple games.
I will say we are the best 12-42 or 41 win team of all time. Having to crunch those numbers, but fairly competent. Like, let's not be delusional. We're not going to like make a run to the play-in and then have a Cinderella story. But man, we have an actual basketball team for the first time in 2 years.
Yeah, I completely agree. Okay, quick question. Does the winning bother you at all with the whole, you know, lottery thing?
No, dude, I was thinking about that. It's kind of a weird thing where, like, we kind of took our whips up front and just got decimated. And now we're so bad that even if we win at like an above 500 clip, like, we're getting a top six pick.
No, I mean the race for the bottom is close, between us, like the Pistons, the Spurs, the Wizards. It is close, and like if we lost the rest of our games, we could secure the best odds for the number one pick. But this year's draft is pretty mediocre, and there's not like a clear cut number one at all. Like if you check different boards, you'll see somebody different, everywhere you look. So I'm not super concerned about it. I am happy that there's just like a little semblance of culture developing. And again, not getting carried away, but God, have these past two games been so much fun to watch.
This might be too much of a galaxy brain take here, but because like normally with drafts, even if it's a bad draft, like there's always a consensus like top two, top three that no one really deviates from. Like if we're gonna do this, and like I kind of want to see what the new GM has in mind. Like if we have the sixth pick, those are kind of like those random picks. Again, like it's not as good as a top three pick, obviously. But you get an idea of like what your GM like is looking for more in those picks, Like instead of like, okay, we have to draft Jabari Parker or we have to draft Jabari Smith Jr. third. But it's like, yeah, when you're at the sixth pick, you kind of get to roll the dice and it'd be good just like an inside look at like what our new GM will be. But that's further down the line. The future is now and we're winning now. Let's focus on that.
Okay, cool. So the general ball movement, Tim, of this team has been so much fun to watch. Like, I forgot that you could pass the ball more than twice in a possession. I'm stealing that from you, but that is completely, it's been the case for the past like 40 games that it's just been isolation after isolation for Brandon Miller, Miles Bridges, LaMelo, whatever, Terry Rozier. And now the team's actually passing. We have had like one of the lowest assists per game in the league. I think we're like 25th. And then the game against the Grizzlies, we had 33 assists. A game against the Pacers, we had 27. So we are quickly improving that. I think that's like sort of the overall takeaway is that in the hot shooting.
But it's nice to beat the Grizzlies, don't want to have to shoot, 16 of 32 from three or whatever it was. But yeah, man, like it is pretty nice when it's like, okay, there's a pick and roll, roll man gets the ball. It's like, oh, he's not just gonna like throw up something off the glass, a la Cody Zeller or the Nick Richards special. It's like, yeah, but it actually is moving around. And you can see Miller having a little adjustment to it where he's like, I thought I was just gonna cook on this play. But no, man, it makes a very watchable product. And, we pretty much swapped out four players that are not NBA players for even like bench players. We pretty much took like, the Mavs bench and the Thunder bench. And now we have this. We have a team.
And I mean, it is worth a shout out one more time. The fact that the thing that's making this so much more watchable and the team so much better is the fact that we had that conglomerate of players that just were not very good. Ish Smith, Frank Ntilikina, JT Thor, Bryce
Should we
McGowan's.
dude, you're forgetting your boy.
Who's my boy? Who am I forgetting?
James Cook tonight, dude.
He didn't even play, so he's not even on the list. On the list,
Does
James Cook
he
made
is he
late.
worthy of a old throwback from the old podcast feed? Pour one out.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. We're getting to that. I got that in the in the show notes. Pour one out for James Bouknight, Ish Smith, and Frank Ntilikina. Three players waived by the Hornets immediately after the trade deadline. And I would like to note one more time that the 2021 NBA draft was a disaster. Kai Jones, James Bouknight, JT Thor. JT Thor is somehow the only remaining player on the team, and I don't expect that to last for very long.
That's a very kind way to put it, Mark.
Okay. Let's focus on the present, though. Let's focus on the present. All right. We got five new players, Tim. Let's break them down. We're going to go in order of plus minus through the first two games that these players have played. And first up on the list, I was gonna have Tim guess them, but he already guessed like before the podcast who the first one was. Grant Williams, he is averaging 18 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, on 47% shooting, 42% from three. And I hate to say it, Tim, he might not be good at chess, but he has been good at basketball through two games for the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah, it is one of those things through gritted teeth we've been texting like, God damn it, I guess Grant Williams is actually kind of good. I don't know. It's tough to separate not only the chest lies and the blasphemy in that, but really just I have just distrust for anyone that plays in Boston's, you know, like Boston sports team, just because the media is so overrepresented or overrepresented. God damn, I can't speak. Yeah. God. It's like I couldn't say Pythagorean last week. yeah, just small strokes. But yeah, it's like I watch Grant Williams and I'm like, wow, he is a winning player. Yeah, he only had five rebounds, but man, he really fought for that. Look at those box outs. And I know I'm going to get tired of it. Like he had that one like pull up baseline jumper last night, like fadeaway, where I was like, I don't really love that shot. It did bounce in. But for the time being, these two games, I'm just like, wow, he could be in a playoff rotation for the next Hornets team.
Yeah, he definitely could be. He was in the Celtics playoff rotation. And I think he just plays with like a lot of effort. I know that's a cliche, but he does play with a lot of effort. He's trying to guard Miles Turner. He's trying to guard all of the biggest players on the Pacers. And he does do like an adequate job. I'm not going to lie. When he checked in instead of Nick Richards, I was extremely happy. Nick Richards last night had a great, great box score, like 6 of 6, 9 rebounds, but he was terrible on offense, just turning the ball over and not able to catch passes. Meanwhile, when Grant Williams goes in, it's like, huh, you know, well, we didn't lose much on defense, and he's way better on offense.
He absolutely is. Just being able to space the floor, money from the corner. Nick Richards, honestly, might have been his worst half of the last 2 years since he actually started getting rotation minutes, just brutally bad. I don't know about you with Grant Williams. I have no idea how tall he is. It feels like it changes like play to play. It's almost like watching like an Al Pacino movie, Short King. But like there are certain times like they'll just have Al Pacino randomly like on an elevated plane. And it's like, oh, he's like 6 foot. And then other times like, oh, he's shorter than Diane Keaton. It's like sometimes Grant Williams looks like he's like 6'8". And then sometimes I'm like, is he 6'3"?
Yeah. So really, yeah, he's listed 6'6". He's definitely like very short to play center. And I mean, I don't think this is like a sustainable option long term for him to play much center for us, but he's getting it done. He's getting it done. And he has the biggest plus minus in the past two games of any of these new players. He has his third most points in this season last night against the Pacers. It's worth noting, Tim, that he did this for the Mavericks at the start of the season. He was like really, really good for the first 10 games or first 7 games or something. And then he just fell off a cliff and stopped playing well and like semi fell out of their rotation, like just not getting as much minutes. And he has a tendency to start to rub locker rooms the wrong way after a period of time. So proceed with caution in falling in love with Grant Williams. That's what I'm going to say.
I'm definitely there. Yeah. Where I was already hesitant at the beginning. I will enjoy the good times. But I do have to say, it's like it's such a cliche, but like people talk about like, oh, it's good to get playoff reps as a young guy, like play on a winning team, play the right way. And it's like, you know, he might only be an eighth man, but I'm like, okay, he does play the right way. In the same way that like, yeah, Cody Martin now this season, not the best example, but like Cody Martin 2 years ago, it's like, okay, like even if you don't like his play style, objectively, it's clearly a plus for the team. Even if he's annoying 25% of the time. Yeah, so we have that. We have a little, you know, stoutness, got some corner shooting. And I got to say, all, you know, good for PJ Washington, gave us a lot of all right years. I was going to say good years, but I was like, I don't want to give him too much claim. but yeah, man, it's just kind of cool to see someone that clearly actually cares. And like you mentioned, like, yeah, efforts. And like it is annoying. And like obviously playing pickup is not like the NBA. Those players are much better. But there are those guys you play pickup against where you're like, dude, why are you such a fucking tryhard? Like, are you really like going to like press me, you know, at the half court line? But, you know, those guys end up with like, you know, 6 points, 5 rebounds, and like they move the ball. And it's like you hate playing against them, but you're always like, ah, damn. Yeah, he was kind of better than me that game. And that's Grant Williams.
Yeah, I agree. I also think he's a higher basketball IQ player than PJ Washington. In terms of raw talent, PJ Washington is better. And he's better at defense, et cetera, but in terms of effort and like basketball IQ, I think Grant has gotten beat. And Grant just doesn't look like he'd be good at basketball, right? So he has that kind of.
Yeah, he has the face of someone that works in IT.
Yeah, that's a very good comparison. He doesn't have like particularly, he's not particularly built. Like, you know, if you saw him walking around, if he wasn't 6'6", you wouldn't think like, oh, he definitely hoops.
If he was 5'8", I'd be like, damn, this guy's probably really good at chess. Definitely better than Mark.
Well, you know what the big thing is that the locker room problems aren't going to be the case here. In Dallas, he had conflicts with Luka over who's the best chess player on the team. And now Gordon Hayward is not on the team anymore. So he's going to be, you know, he can claim the best chess player on the team at least. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's move on. Next player on the list, Tim, who do you think is the second highest in plus minus through the first two games?
If I had to guess, I would say it is your boy, Vasi Micic.
Yeah, Vasilije Micic. Career high in assists and points in his debut when he had 18 and 9. Was not as crazy impressive last night. He only had 4 assists and 2 points. I would say he could have gotten a few more assists if people hadn't been missing like easy looks. I have been pretty blown away with his passing ability, Tim. Everything else, I'm completely unsure of. Can he play defense? Probably not. Can he score at the rim? Doesn't seem like it. Can he shoot threes? Not sure. But his passing ability is really, really cool. You know, in that first game, you can go watch the highlights. He had several plays that were kind of jaw-dropping. And he has the ability that is pretty rare of just, like, waiting until the last possible second, drawing the defense in as much as possible, and then kicking it out to an open shooter. Yeah, frankly, I think he's an NBA player. I think he's a very, very good backup point guard. And I'm happy that the Hornets have him. I've liked him more than Trey Mann through two games.
You definitely have. You, that's, this is your own personal Lin Sanity run.
Yes.
Where I got more texts from you about him than anything else this season. It's like, man, like it might be set. But now, Ben, he is, like, as you said, a professional basketball player. He even led Miles Bridges to Miles' like first real like electric poster of the season last night on a beautiful slip pass. He has that going on. And yeah, like his rim finishing, yeah, like we'll see. It definitely doesn't look super sustainable when you see it. But on the season, he is leading all bench players in net rating. He has that, and just he's a steadying force. And, you know, I'll double down on the Jeremy Lin comparisons. He's the best backup point guard we've had since Jeremy Lin.
Damn. Wait, he's leading all bench players in net rating?
That is according to StatMuse, yes.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah, so
but those are also very limited minutes in garbage time with the Thunder. Like, we should preface that.
Yeah.
But it counts.
It does count. It does count. It's not like it's an incredibly small sample size. Like, I mean, he was playing like, you know, 12 minutes a game in like 30 games with Oklahoma City. It's not like he didn't play at all. Yeah, that's crazy. And yeah, I don't know. I'll sound repetitive. His passing ability is super high level. Like he's an elite passer in my opinion. And everything else, I think he's not very good at. And maybe he can shoot. Well, it's kind of the verdict's out on that. The rim finishing is worse than you just described it. Like, he missed several easy layups in the first two games. And he seems like terrified of going up in the paint. And then oftentimes that leads to like an open shooter, kick out to an open shooter for three. But then sometimes it's like, he could have just made a layup. And when he tries to make a layup, he misses.
He had that layup last night in like pseudo crunch time where it's like, it was just so discombobulated. I think it was a travel. I'm not quite sure. The Pacers bench was mad, but it's like that was one of those things that the refs were just like, fuck it, man. He's just unathletic. Like, maybe he just stumbled a little bit. So it's like, I get a little benefit from that. But now, man, it's enjoyable. I mean, this is, you know, not beating a dead horse, but like, are you Ish Smith? Are you Frankie Smokes? Oh, you're not? Oh, man, you're a great basketball player. And I do think, though, you know, so he's 30 now, so we'll have him for the 31, 32 age seasons if we want, I believe, team option on the third year. Yeah, man, this is just like a good piece of business. Mm-hmm. Like, sounds kind of lame to say, but I mean, that's just kind of what it is. I mean, assuming that LaMelo is going to miss, you know, 20 games a season, which I think is fair. I mean, most NBA players do. 82 games is rough. And yeah, just like having someone back there that can actually run an offense, pretty exciting. And yeah, he's not going to be a good finisher. His defense will be all right, but our offense is not going to fall apart. It's not going to be Cody Martin running point guard.
No, yeah, I think that's what he brings to the table, is that he can just run a very effective offense. And we have seen that, like, I mean, I'm not going to put this all on him, but other players have been passing more. It's like, oh, I'm playing with Micić, who passes a lot. And then Miles is like, okay, I don't have to take this shot. I can pass it. He does seem to be sort of having that impact. He had some quote in an article, like, I think basketball is beautiful when people are passing the ball. He clearly prescribes to that. He passes too much, if anything. And it's fun. It's fun to watch a player play like that. Like, it's just unique. And yeah, I joked on the first podcast that when we signed him, who's a better passer, LaMelo or him? It's LaMelo, but Micić is an elite passer, bro.
All right. Reel it in here, Mark. Reel it in.
Well, but why else is he in the NBA? I mean, I'm not kidding. Like, it's just, he has one skill.
No, he is. He's a very good passer.
Yeah,
yeah, he is. Yeah. He's above average. It's also been fun to watch some of the Thunder guys, like, you know, him and Trey Mann. They're throwing up some lobs for Nick Richards, and it's like, okay, you guys will adjust in like five games and figure it out, which is fair. But like, they're throwing it up, and Nick Richards kind of looking like, yeah, you clearly did not watch the game tape. He's like, I'm not a vertical spacer like that. But now they're getting good reads, and God, if Nick Richards could actually just catch a ball, yeah, he could go 8 of 8 in a game.
I'm gonna stand by that elite passer claim. We'll see if it actually proves to be true. I think he's like pretty bad at everything.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, he is an elite passer, just not an elite athlete to the point to capitalize on where some of the passes could go.
Yeah,
between height and athleticism. But yes, as far as like, I'm very confident in him. Anytime he runs a pick and roll, I'm like, okay, we will get somewhere that's like at least an adequate shot.
Yeah. And obviously, 2-game sample size, but I like him. Okay.
No, we threw out sample size in the first week of the season, man. We just ride with the good vibes.
Okay. All right. I love it. I'm buying his jersey. Okay. Who do you think is next in plus minus through the first 2 games between the new players?
Trey Mann.
It's Seth Curry. Seth Curry.
Ah.
Yeah. He +4 and +15. And yeah, last night, the first game for him was pretty forgettable, and like, he didn't look super good. Last night, he kind of took over the game in that third quarter. He was 7 for 11. He had 18 points, the second most points he's had this season. He had 19 earlier this season in a game with the Mavs. And you mentioned it before the podcast. There was a moment where Del Curry was just getting choked up watching his son play. It was pretty beautiful. I texted you. He felt like Steph Curry for about 2 minutes.
He did. He had a couple of wild layups, like obviously is not his brother, but for 2 minutes, I was like, okay, this kind of feels like him breaking down playoff defenses. And yeah, just not being afraid to shoot. I mean, if you look at some of those early box scores from the first like month of the season, like, dude, how did we got 16 threes in a game? Like, that's it? That's for a quarter. Like, man, how are we doing this? And now it's like, just having his spacing, his shot creation, like, this is kind of the perfect team for him. Where I like what Clifford's been doing for rotations, where like, just kind of cycling out Micić, Curry, man, like, we always have someone, I guess they're fresh to us, so it's a little more exciting. But just competent ball handling at all times. And yeah, man, Curry, he's not afraid to just pop off a three, and like, I always think they're going in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's hit them at a relatively efficient clip. Yeah, I mean, more impressive than his like 3-point shooting even was his like getting to the rim. And just getting buckets. He was awesome last night. I think it's safe to say without Seth Curry, we would not have won last night. Like, he did just completely
100%.
Yeah, he completely took over the game for a brief period of time. Like, I don't remember how many points he had exactly. But he was awesome. And, like, there was one moment where he just had Brandon Miller wide open at the top of the key, and instead he broke his defender down off the dribble and hit a mid-range shot. And I was like, all right.
It was like a 20-footer, objectively not a good shot, but I was like, oh, he's cooking. Let him do it. Like, it was fine. Yeah, like those acrobatic layups he had last night, I was like, I don't expect this all the time, but oh my God, is this better than Ish Smith getting to the paint, then having to Steve Nash his way around the basket to pull up for like an air ball 12-footer. I was like, oh my God, man, we are home. We are home. Like, it is good.
I mean, dude, he had 18 points in 19 minutes. Pretty incredible performance for somebody coming off the bench. And like, I don't expect that to happen all the time, but the fact that it can happen is something you could not say about any of the other guards on the roster before this trade.
I will say, like, with that bench lineup, yeah, with like Curry, Williams, Micić, Bertans, that's kind of how I build like my 2K teams, where I'm like, okay, I just want a 3-point shooters on the floor. It's like, you know, 85 and above, good to go. And I was just watching, I was like, oh man. I felt like I was almost like watching myself play 2K. I was like, oh man, sweet. You guys are just going to shoot threes, like 2/3 of the possessions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I loved it. And we should say, you know, I mentioned he probably won't be with the team next year. I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't hate it. Just like, he's from Charlotte. Let's let him play for another year. I don't see what the Hornets are going to do with the bench guards anyways. Like, why not just let him be on the team for another year? And
you don't think we're going to re-sign Booknight?
Well, he's not on the team anymore, Tim.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You don't think we're going to bring him back? A little redemption project?
I don't believe so. I don't think so. All right, that's honestly all I have on Seth. Next up on the plus minus list, who do you think's next?
Well, now I'm going to guess Trey Mann again.
Yeah, it is Trey Mann. Yeah, he has been pretty good through two games, averaging 10 points and 8 assists. Like, I just hyped up Micić's passing ability, but Trey Mann also has a lot of assists in the past two games. Somehow, like, not as nearly as noticeable. I guess just not.
No,
as
much. I mean, all assists are not created equally.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's been, like, kind of inefficient, but relatively efficient. He shot 4 of 11 through the first game, 5 of 11 in the second game. Had 4 turnovers last night. And he is exciting. Like, he is now, I mean, I guess Brandon Miller is a guard, but he's kind of like the most exciting, like, project guard on the team.
Yeah, I would say 100%. He kind of only has like one move at the moment where he's like really likes to try to catch people on like the step back. Like, you know, it's like drop back, and then he kind of hesitates from there, but he does create space with it. I think the shooting is legit. He did have that rough air ball last night where kind of alligator armed it, but I just think that, yeah, it's like, okay, if Trey Mann is like your ninth man, 10th man next year, our salary cap, pretty good spot.
What do you think about him playing the amount of minutes that he's playing? So this is something I thought about, is that I'm not like incredibly excited about Trey Mann, but I think it might not be his fault. I think it's the fact that he's playing 30 minutes a game.
Yeah, I mean, I think like realistically with a healthy team, Trey Mann's probably around like 16 minutes a game.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah. If it's down near like 20 or 16, he's like a much more enticing player. At the moment, he should not be playing that many minutes, but we don't have anybody else. So that's what's happening. And he's shown some definite flashes through two games. I would say it's safe to say Micić just had a bigger impression on me through two games because I didn't expect him to be so good. But Trey Mann has been as promised.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, pretty much just for trading away Gordon Hayward, getting, you know, semi scraps. Yeah. Trey Mann's intriguing and definitely worth the watch. I don't ever think that it's going to be like, wow. I mean, do you think we have to start Trey Mann? Like, I don't think that conversation's ever going to happen. But just like a competent, yeah, third or fourth guard off the bench, good piece of business.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, and he's super young. He has baby face too. He looks even younger than he is.
Man, jarring baby face.
Yeah. Yeah, he's 23 and he looks like 19 for sure. Yeah, solid piece of business signing Trey. Last player on the list, Davis Bertans. I am gonna say that he's not gonna be on the team next year. He shot 11 shots and all of them have been 3-pointers. Last night was 1 for 6, and it's like, okay, this is why people don't like him.
You know, I'm going to zag on this. That's why I do like it, man. I mean, what a bold guy. We talked about, you know, the new guys really bringing energy and, you know, pinging the ball around. Bertans is like, oh, dude, fucking sweet. You pass me the ball 30 feet away, I'm chucking this shit. I'm looking off Miles Bridges. I'm looking off Brandon Miller. I'm popping it. Had an air ball last night, and I was like, ooh. You know, because nothing worse than shooting an air ball. I couldn't imagine doing it in front of, you know, 15,000 people. And then two possessions down the road, he was like, I'm fucking popping another leaning three. I don't think he'll be efficient or effective, but I like it.
Yeah, when he hit that first three last night, I texted you like, hey, Bertans is not bad, because he went 3 for 5 in the first game. He was a little effective in that first game against Memphis. And he is like long, so it's like, okay, like at least he's long and he can shoot. I see the vision, but if he's long Kyle Korver that shoots 30% on threes, that's not an NBA player.
No, most likely not. I would say so he's got 5.25 million guaranteed for next year, 16 fully, you know, if we pick up the salary, don't cut him by, I believe, July 1st or June 30th. But man, I don't know, like if we want to make another trade next year that is like good matching salary, since we don't really have that on the team at the moment, you know, with PJ, Terry, and Gordy going out, not a lot of like, you know, those guys. So if we do want to absorb a worse contract, depending on how next season goes, but yeah, man, I like it. I mean, I think he's as advertised. It's like, okay, he had one really good year in 2020 and was solid with the Spurs prior to that. And other than that, been a pretty destructive NBA player. But yeah, man, for what we have going on, we got 28 games left in the season, 29. Let Bertans get 6 threes a game, man. Fuck it. Who cares?
Yeah. I think I'd like to see his minutes go to Nick Smith Jr. But yeah, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. His salary could be an asset to acquire a better player on a higher contract that a team is looking to unload. Like, for example, the Knicks want to sign, I don't know, LeBron James or whatever. They could try to unload Julius Randle, and like Bertans could be a pretty big deal in that package.
Yeah. So that's why you would keep the full salary, the full 16 instead of the 5.25. Especially, yeah, they're with the new CBA kicking in, luxury tax gets far more punitive for second apron teams. And it's like, okay, so like, you know, we could absorb a bad contract, but either way, it's like, I'm enjoying our time together, you know, like the last day of a vacation.
Give it 10 more days, bro. Give it 10 more days. The honeymoon phase will end.
He's going to be a 35-36% 3-point shooter that is terrible in every other aspect. I mean, the honeymoon is not going off strong.
Yeah. If you didn't understand anything Tim said about the salary cap, email us at hornetsandheartbreak@gmail.com and Tim will answer you. Cause I got lost a little bit when we started talking about aprons. All right. next up on the list, Kupchak, Tim went out with this resounding successful move in the middle of a 2-game win streak, the tied for the longest win streak of the season. Kupchak, it was announced that Kupchak is moving to an advisory role with the team. Not surprising. I guess you could say it's a little surprising that he'll still be with the team. I like it. I think it's good that they're announcing it now and not like making him try to scout future draft picks for this next offseason. Give that role to somebody else who's actually making the decision. or just at least move that responsibility off of him. And what a like curtain call for him, man.
Yeah, I would say this is a very nice way to go out. And there were, it kind of worried me, we mentioned it last week's episode, or 2 weeks ago, but like, I think it's kind of weird that it's like an open secret that we're going to like get rid of Mitch Kupchak, but let him handle the trade deadline. But it's like, okay, he clearly just followed orders, did it. And yeah, man, good for him. Yeah, I think this is a beautiful swan song for Mitch Kupchak. Clearly, he knew he was on the outs and vice versa. Followed the owner's orders and made the moves that MJ would never have made. And yeah, I think it's pretty good. I mean, he's an advisor, which I don't really know what that means. I doubt that they're going to be calling him up and being like, who should we take in the second round? But no, man, it's enjoyable. And all in all, Mitch Kupchak's tenure, I'd say it was pretty solid C. But compared to Rich Cho's like F minus, he at least put us in a good direction. Didn't help us out all that much, but could have been worse.
It could have been worse. It could have been worse. I won't think of Mitch Kupchak only with negative memories. Whereas with Rich Cho, that's what I think of. He did nail two draft picks. You know, the Brandon Miller one was like super contentious. Like people did not think that was a good move, including us. And he's doing this trade, which, I mean, not only did our team get substantially better immediately, but we also have three draft picks out of it. I can't say I dislike the trade. Is Grant Williams better than PJ Washington? Yes.
Yeah, with the first and Seth Curry, and like really outside of the 2021 draft you mentioned, I mean, that is going to be on like his eulogy of, you know, Hornets retirement. And like, yeah, did a lot of good things, totally fucked up that draft. But I don't think that's really like a totally fair representation, because he did bring in both Martin twins. He did nail Devontae Graham in the second round. Miles Bridges was, you know, I mean, obviously wasn't a trade with Shea, known at the time, but like Miles Bridges for the 12th pick, really good. PJ Washington for the 13th pick, really good. Like he nailed a lot of things, like, you know, like big draft picks, and then kind of missed on the margins as far as, you know, trade deadline moves, maybe upgrading the backcourt. But overall, yeah, it's like, I will never tell my hypothetical grandkids about Mitch Kupchak, but yeah, he was fine.
I'm going to upgrade him to a C+ or a B-. I'm going to go ahead and do that. 2021 draft, inexcusable, but outside of that, Gordon Hayward contract, inexcusable, not making trades or not.
All right, so players, now you're making me want to bring it to like a D+.
Okay. All right, well, let's end this on a good note. Tim, I got a question for you. Which player that we have recently acquired is most likely to like completely fall off from their current production?
So I'm assuming like we're talking like, you know, next year after the trade deadline, we'll kind of look back and, oh man, can you believe we thought that? Yeah. I would say either Grant Williams or Micic.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think Grant Williams is the easy answer because he's averaging 18 points per game at the moment. And I don't expect that to continue, or his like efficient shooting, good defense, super high plus minus. Just cause he's been the best. You could say Micic for sure. You could also say Seth Curry. You could also say he's just going to go back to putting up less than 10 points a game. In like every game. Now, I don't mean less than 10 points per game. I mean like the 18 point outburst might literally never happen again. But cool. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about what these new players have done to the other players on the team. For one, everybody's passing more. Already mentioned that it's been fun to watch. There was that play where Miles threw that pass in between two defenders, in between, I think it was Miles Turner and somebody else, straight to Cody Martin for an easy dunk. The ball movement is just super fun. But damn, Brandon Miller, our guy, getting some decreased production, decreased shot attempts in these last few games.
Yeah, he's the one guy where him and Miles like got to take one for the team. But overall, I do think it's good, because you don't want Brandon Miller to get in the mindset of like, okay, for the last 30 games, I just kind of get to fuck around, like almost play like substitute teacher ball and just, you know, run 40 pick and rolls a game. Good for his development, of course, but never know with the bad habits. And I just feel like it does remind me of like the first couple games of the season where he's like an established role as opposed to just like the offense. So I think that it's, you know, take a short-term hit for a long-term gain.
Yeah, and maybe make him earn the shots. Like, that, there's that perspective too. Like, prove that you're better than, you know, all this ball movement and like open threes, right? Like, prove that you can do it by yourself a little bit more rather than just being given the opportunity to shoot 20 shots a game.
Yeah, I think that's certainly fair. And I like what he's done really like the last month where he's really stretched his 3-point range. Where like last night he popped like a 27, 28 footer. It rimmed out, and then he got someone passing the offensive rebound. And he immediately just fucking put up like another 28 footer next possession. I was like, okay, I like that. I'd rather, you know, like don't do the Kemba toes on the line, do that, like a little confidence, but it wasn't like he was hogging the ball like Carmelo Anthony style, just like ball stopping. He still is like, he's working on his decision-making, but I think it's a worthwhile sacrifice to just be in an actual basketball team, not an AAU team.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the numbers. In the 8 games prior to the last two, he shot 17 or more shots in every game. And then the last two, he shot 9 and 8. So significant decrease in opportunity. I also think that, like, the new players are just given more run because they're new. And, like, you want to get them to fit with a new team. It's working. But at some point, it'll, like, meet in the middle a little bit. And Brandon Miller will be back to getting, like, 14 shots a game.
We'll find an equilibrium and like a well-earned 14 shots a game, and we'll definitely work it out. But I like what I see, and also some foul trouble, as mentioned earlier. It's like got into it, but everything that I've seen from him I like, and it's probably good for a guy, you know, people hit the rookie wall. I mean, it wasn't realistic that Miller was going to play like 38 minutes a game and get up 20 shots for the next 30 games.
Well, it was realistic until we made these trades because that was all we had.
The good old days, man.
Nick Smith Jr., I got to point it out, feels like he should play like a little bit. I don't really know why he just completely had his minutes taken away. He's not great, but he's good enough to play a little bit still.
He is shooting 36% from two.
Okay, but that 3-point percentage, bro. You ever heard of effective field goal percentage?
Oh, no. What is effective field goal percentage, Mark?
Effective field goal percentage is defined as, I'm just playing. It factors in 3-point shooting into the field goal percentage. And he's lights out from three. I know he's terrible at twos, but he is like a decent rookie. Like I don't know.
I don't want to downplay it. He's shooting 45% from three on like 115 attempts. It is like, that is a genuine skill.
Yeah.
Like that is like keep you in the league for 10 years. Like, okay. Even if you like, you're Anthony Morrow at least.
Can we see Trey Mann's minutes go down by 5 and give Nick Smith
absolutely
five consecutive minutes? That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
he wasn't on the level of Ish Smith bad. Like, he doesn't need to just ride the bench.
No, I think he's definitely going to come out, like, I would say post All-Star break, like 2 weeks after All-Star break, like early March, I think that Nick Smith Jr. will be back.
Okay, cool. All right, Liquor Mark's Degenerate Gambling Corner. So this is an old segment. It's somewhat retired because we haven't had much to gamble on. But Tim, I won some money on the Chiefs. It was the Super Bowl. I was like, okay, I don't really care who wins this game. I'm going to bet on it. So I made a deposit. Won some money on the Chiefs, and I was like, okay, so I have this money in Bovada. It's not really enough to like withdraw, but I guess I'm just gonna like make some more bets on NBA games. And my second bet was betting $20 on the Hornets to win at plus 310, 315 or something like that. And then I was like, all right, I'm gonna throw this in a parlay too. Hornets and 76ers, $20. And the odds on that were plus 1,800. That's 18 to 1. Tim, it hit. And yeah, now it's enough money to withdraw. That was 20 to win 360. So come at me. I'm 3-0 in 2024.
All right. And if you really have the cojones factors, I would say put all that money on the Pistons tonight versus the Lakers.
I got them in a parlay with some hockey games. I'll stay tuned.
Jesus Christ. All right. Stay tuned for our closing segment where we have an intervention for Mark. Let me call some friends.
When I told Tim I made that parlay yesterday, he sent me the gambling hotline. And I mean, I don't know. I just thought like both odds were a little too high. The 76ers were like almost 4-1 underdogs. And I was like, okay, they're not that bad without Embiid. I thought they were both good odds. And look, it paid out. I'm not claiming to be a guru over here, but it did work out.
The gambling hotline, they sent me your voice recording, and they were like, God damn, he's got a good parlay here. It's like, tell your friend to bet that tonight. Call us tomorrow. But I would definitely put money on the Sixers.
Yeah. I might sprinkle a little money on Micić, comeback player of the year.
All right, Mark, you got to cash out now and just enjoy yourself, man. You're in New Orleans soon. That's New Orleans money.
Yeah. Yeah, no, 100%. Okay, anything else? Media Corner?
Do you want to start Media Corner? Do you have anything?
I don't, man. I haven't watched anything super interesting. It's all you.
All right, then I'm going to go with a starter song from the band Can, C-A-N. It would be Vitamin C off of their 1972 album, and their lead singer passed away this week. And they're one of those bands that, like, if you're into music and you're 19 years old and you want to like find out more stuff, you read about Can, like they pop up in all these reviews and you hear this hyperbolic stuff of like, this is like the Miles Davis, you know, Bitches Brew band mixed with the Velvet Underground, and they're from German. They pretty much invented the term krautrock, and I just have to say that kind of some of the coolest music ever made is from Can, and RIP to their singer, Damo Suzuki. And yeah, if you're looking for anything, start with Vitamin C off their 1972 album, and then check out everything they did from 1970 to 1974. It's immaculate.
All right, Tim, I'm going to leave with this. How many games are the Hornets going to win after the All-Star break?
After the All-Star break, so we have one game remaining before the All-Star break. Am I correct? So we have
28 left after, I believe.
So about 28. I will say that we are 9-19.
Check your math there. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to go 10-18, Tim. I'm feeling optimistic.
Wow, you really price is righted me right there.
Yep. Yep. I'm just one more win less of a dick than you are.
Well, you know, but I do think that, I mean, comparatively, after we, you know, just got off in a 10-game losing streak, I think that 9-19 is pretty solid.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it definitely is. And if you had asked me before these trades, I would have said 4-24. I mean,
exactly.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, so I mean,
that's what I
no
meant.
No
yeah
no yeah and it's like, yeah. Man, it was just like a grind to get through, but now it's really just an enjoyable time, man. I'm so happy. It feels like kind of the start of a new season, and I know 13 games from now it's gonna be like, oh yeah, so Micić has not made a shot within 10 feet in the last 5 games. Grant Williams is 23% from the corner, but it's like, no, that's not what matters. The future is now. The present is now. The time is now. You got a beautiful team.
Future is now, baby. All right, Tim. It's been real.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
It's been real. Be safe out there, Liquor Mark.
Peace. Happy Mardi Gras.